Heavenly Father, we thank you and humble ourselves to see the living and powerful Word of God that reveals the thoughts and intents of our heart and where we see ourselves in Scripture in light of who you are and what you've done. And Jesus, may you be glorified. You laid your life down, that you died, and you were lifted up on that cross, and the glory of God to save. And I pray that tonight you would bless the Word of God into our lives, for doing, for changing, delivering, and transforming us. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, picking right up, now in all Israel, there was no one praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. You remember Absalom had killed his brother Amnon in revenge, or again, I'll use this word on purpose tonight, vengeance. Took vengeance upon his brother Amnon for forcing and raping his sister Tamar. And he waited two full years, saying nothing good nor bad. And having killed him, he ran away. And 3 years gone, now 2 years back, and yet David hasn't seen Absalom. And you'll notice that it's the king. It's not David, the dad. Although David in his house, the sword sin, piercing all the way into the sorrow. Now we take a look at Absalom here tonight. Out of all this, this is Absalom's life. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. When he cut his hair of his head at the end of every year, he cut it because it was heavy on him when he cut it. He weighed the hair of his head in 200 shekels according to the king's standard. Now, I'm all for an annual haircut. Right? I don't think I'd have 5 pounds of hair like Absalom did. And so, some of you guys, as it's thinning, I don't know if I've had 5 pounds of hair in my life, let alone every year. But you'll notice that this is being noted of the character of Absalom. To Absalom were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, and he names her Tamar, again, obviously honoring his sister, and she was a woman of beautiful appearance. And Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, but did not see the king's face. So you do a little bit of math here, and that's 5 years of him having killed Amnon, and nothing's been addressed. And likewise, David was very angry at the sin that Amnon did to Tamar and did nothing about it. He was angry. And so 2 more years go by, and he still didn't see the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he would not come to him. And he sent again the second time, he would not come. And so he said to his servant, "See, Joab's field is near mine. He has barley there. Go set it on fire." And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Evidently, years ago, if you're the king's son, you can do whatever you want to do. Right? Then Joab arose, came to Absalom's house, and said to him, "Why have your servants set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, "Look, I sent to you, saying, 'Come here that I may send to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, but if there is any iniquity in me, let him execute me.'" And so Joab went to the king, told him, and when he called for Absalom, he came to the king, bowed himself on his face to the ground and before the king. Then the king kissed Absalom. Now, you notice this is not David as dad, but the king. Just notable tonight, as I'll give you the title of where this goes, and it's in the form of a question tonight. Has the truth transformed your life? Has the truth transformed your life? We We recognize as we've studied this, and we're right in the middle of the sin of which David had committed, and then we saw that David found forgiveness, David found restoration, and David had a forgiven, transformed life. And notable to say that, yeah, we could lay this out. David hasn't talked to his son for 5 years, and any number of reasons as we enter into this study of what could make a man bitter. The Bible's very clear about bitterness and a root of bitterness, how we have to look carefully even in the church lest a root of bitterness spring up and defile many. You're going to see the sins of bitterness and unforgiveness. You're going to see revenge. You're going to see, you're going to see lives that haven't changed one bit concerning the truth of God's word. And you'll see this in church from time to time. And other times you'll see and know and you'll hear that at the very point where the test came, that man or that woman of God had a transformed life. And I enter into this study again with a bit of, I'm looking for some fruit from our lives, if I can say it that way. A little bit of inspection tonight. Now, the fruit's for God, but let's let God have something that we haven't talked about for quite a while. Find a way to Romans 12. Now, 11, 12 years ago, this was a word of prophecy for us in Romans 12. And I still remember that day when we went through Romans 12, and it's not because I was teaching that I remember. In fact, it was my pastor who brought Romans 12. And he said, find yourself in here. Everyone's in chapter 12. And we set about to fulfill genuine church, and I'm just going to pick a couple of these things up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Has the truth transformed your life? And that is, we get into this question, for Absalom, no. Now, why I bring this up is, here's my context. After coming to the Lord, finding Calvary Chapel, finding the teaching of God's Word, finding the baptism with the Holy Spirit, started serving God, answering the call, doing all those things, and my life was transformed, or my life was changed. It was different, and I liked that new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, born of God. And that new life is a wonderful new life, but then the test comes. And the test comes to see, are you really transformed by the truth of God's word? Now, in the introduction to Absalom, you can pick it up already. He's a good-looking, and he's back in Jerusalem, but things aren't right. After this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, this is not the behavior of the crown prince, if he is even, and he would be the next in order after Amnon was dead, but there's no talk about who would be the next king, but he sure is acting like the king. Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Yeah. And I'm going to braid this together tonight, if you can handle that. Okay? I'm going to compare spiritual with spiritual. We're going to be looking at scripture, and then I'm going to interject here. Absalom would rise early and stand by the way of the gate. So it was whenever anyone had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call on him and say, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel. Then Absalom would say to him, look, your case is good and right, But there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who had any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down, that he would put out his hand, take him, and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Has the truth transformed your life? There's a little bit of Absalom in all of us, or you could narrow it down and say there's a little bit of Absalom in me if you want to make it personal. Remember going through Romans 12 and finding that truth. Find yourself in here. Well, here's where I found myself, even the last time, in the instructions of the Scriptures. Again, and this really picks up in verse 9, let your love be without hypocrisy. That's where I got the genuine church. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. You take, is that you in verse 9? Has the Word of God transformed your life? I would never be like Absalom. Oh, really? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And here's where I found myself, verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And now let's get on to the more pressing cutting. Sharper. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I still remember the study, right? Not humility is not taking one step down. Humility is taking the lowest place, in no middle ground. And has the truth transformed your life? Well, when will you know? You'll know when the test comes. One of the initial workings of the change in my life, of which I thought was transformed. What's the difference between transformation and change? Well, being transformed is when you come up to the same thing that you would have sinned in before, now when given all the opportunity and the conditions and temptations are, again, all there in that transformation, you don't do it. Well, in my initial change, many of you won't believe this, but I used to say every four-letter word in the book all the time, all day long, for about a good 10 years of my life. And that was one of the greatest changes that I remember, you know, no longer speaking like a drunken sailor together with those things. And by bringing this up, you know, a lot of times we want to share things from a standpoint of success. We've been studying David's failure. And that word from Nathan that the sword's not going to depart from his house. And this failure of mine, because I was thinking, oh, this is gone from my life. I'm never going to cuss another day in my life. Well, the truth of the matter was they were still in my head, but they never would come out. And then one particular day at a job I was doing, one of my tent-making jobs, actually it was furniture moving, if you can equate tent-making and furniture moving in the same spiritual context. And we were hired to move some really expensive, nice stuff. How did I know it was nice? Well, I knew in the industry, if it was heavy, it was nice. And carrying out this table, and it was an oval table. We wrapped it up like we always do, and carrying it out. And just as we're getting out to the ramp, slips out of my hands. Oh, that's a passive statement. I dropped it. That's not passive, right? I dropped it and wrecked this probably $4,000, $5,000 table. And immediately out of my mouth came a cuss word. And I don't think I had said one for years, thinking, I will never, ever again. So that's change versus transformation. Now, I don't know if I've ever cussed since that day. But something I did is, again, I'm already pastoring at that point, so don't think like pastors don't do these things. we were in a service in church in Phoenix, right in the middle of worship, and something happens for this lady. I think her phone rang, and out comes. And I just offer this up to us. In looking at all these things, so what did I do? I told my friends that which I thought was gone and out of my life, and there's been a couple of those along the way. Has the truth transformed your life? Well, for Absalom, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. What is that? I want to see Dad and kiss him. See, and I'll just say this to you. There is no restoration without repentance and reconciliation. Unless things are reconciled, you can't just go through a restoration. Oh, we kissed each other. Oh, we like each other again. Never works. So if your brother has sinned against you, as Matthew 18 would describe, that you're to go to him and you're to win him back, as it were. If he receives you, you've gained your brother. And if he doesn't, then you one or two others, and then bring it before the church. And then all to gain, all to restore. And here's how I offer this up to us tonight. It's not David's fault that Absalom is the way that he is. In fact, if you look at this, why did I, use all those words? And my parents never did growing up, but I sure did. And then when I did all that, can I blame my mom and dad? Well, not when I can't, but don't we certainly want to blame others for the way we are? I don't know how you read this, but I do not have pity on Absalom. Right? I don't have pity on Absalom. I don't have pity on Ahithophel. I don't have pity on David. What does that mean? God does. I'm too much like him. Right? I'm too much like him. Now, it came to pass after 4 years, right? So it's 40 in the Hebrew. Is it 40 or 4? Well, David's only king for 40 years, officially. But this might also be a reference to when David was first anointed king. 40 years when that... So the way God looks at things, right, and the way this is, came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, we don't know what that 40 is. Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Man, Absalom is sneaky. He even knows how to play the dad, I want to serve God card. I know I haven't had such a great, right, Christian walk, but dad, I want to come back and serve the Lord. That's what he plays. Every Christian parent wants what for their children? Oh, something spiritual. Oh, go ahead and do it. King said to him, go in peace. And he rose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. His own son just plotted to take away the kingdom. Now, it's almost textbook on how to do it, the way that Absalom goes about this. With Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem. They went along innocently and did not know anything. Then Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. Has the truth transformed your life? Well, when we were at the men's conference 2 years ago, we heard from my pastor who offered up the tragedy of three men who were all Calvary Chapel pastors who all, when it all came to the trial and testing of their lives, and Peter says our faith is more precious than gold, okay, and describes it, it has to be tested by fire, that to know that it's real, that it's true. He described three lives that when the test came, the truth hadn't transformed their lives. Now, you may not have caught it so clearly, but I certainly did. Romans 12, jump back with me there. You know, I watch, you know, when the ladies braid each other's hair, like, how do you do that? I really don't even want to know. Just like, I said, we want to braid my hair, and joking. I mean, but I'm braiding scripture tonight. And I'm doing this on purpose. Because we studied last week how sin gets all the way into the heart. And it pierces. And let's be honest. It's David's in the middle of his heart being pierced over what Absalom is doing. And it happens in churches. It happens in families. You might even have it in your family. Okay? When I bring up my pastor, knowing what he was transformed from, pick up in Romans 12. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Did you hear that? Romans 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. So, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Okay. Keep your finger there. And now I need to jump. To the theme for Word is Truth Radio. Anybody remember when we did that? John 17, 17. Yes, we did radio for 4 years? Internet radio? Okay. With this question, has the truth transformed your life? John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. When you hear sanctified by the truth, it is a life that is set apart according to the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the context of John 17. And it's being set apart or sanctified by the truth. Now back to Romans 12. Here's some truth. Romans 12, 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. How is, you want to give a report card grade to Absalom yet? Do not avenge yourself. You know what he forced upon David? He says, kill me, or see me or kill me. That's what he forced upon him. And then he turns his own son to, if he has his way, he's going to avenge his dad for all of his dad's shortcomings over all of the things for 5 years he didn't do the way he should have done, or the 2 previous years, the way my dad didn't do what he should have done. And I'm just offering up all to you. We're born again. This begins in this, I'm born of God's Spirit. I'm His child. I have a new nature. That way that I used to live, I reckon that old man dead, reckon the old man dead. The new life in Christ. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Now, my pastor was the avenger of his family. Rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. So we're going to get to take a look at Absalom making in his mind, I would be a better king than my dad ever was. Okay, you catch the tone, thinking of himself more highly than he ought. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. Well, who's this test for? It's for all of us, but here's the test. This is the one my pastor, he passed. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. And so, when he was tempted to take vengeance upon the man that did horrible things to his daughter, to his family, to the church, and when he wanted to take vengeance, what's the proof of what came out? He didn't do it. Transformed life. Furthermore, if you listen closely, and I bring it up by way of example, you have my failing on what I thought was a transformed life in the way that I spoke, only to reveal unto you that was change but not transformation. Has the truth transformed my life? Well, you'll know when what happens. Well, you'll know when your son turns his back on you and wants to betray you and kill you. That's how David knows if what type of man he's going to be. Likewise, now when the test comes, over what word? Well, any of the word that the Holy Spirit, that you're to be set apart by the truth, the way Jesus was set apart by the truth. Has the truth transformed your life? You want to know how my pastor fared through that whole thing? He did not kill the man, did not harm the man, forgave the man. Was it easy? Most difficult thing he's ever done. But he's still serving God. Doesn't have a prison ministry. Now, I offer this up in this way to us. These chapters serve for the truth that I introduced last week, that only the Word of God, being sharper than a two-edged sword, can pierce all the way into the division between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart, that the Word, when received, the living and powerful Word of God, if you become dull of hearing, you make the edge of the living word dull. Okay? But if you're hearing and you keep that edge, and between you and the Lord, this word gets all the way in. Now, back in 2 Samuel 15, Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Now, Ahithophel, David's counselor, David writes about him. David's counselor from his city, Gilo, makes him of the tribe of Benjamin, okay, and the conspiracy grew strong. Absalom does not have to win Ahithophel over, does not have to offer up to him any bribe, and this conspiracy and the number of people grew. And I introduced to you Ahithophel. Checking the genealogies, we'll pick it up when we get to chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, then we'll tie it together. But Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandpa. In fact, when it was said, isn't that Uriah's wife, and isn't that, I think it's begins with an E, Eliam's daughter? Well, you get the genealogies, and Ahithophel, his friend and king, the man that he would take sweet counsel together with, committed adultery with his granddaughter, probably at least half his age or less. David was probably about 50 years old when he did that. And we've studied what David went through. But now you've got two men together and bitterness, two bitter men. And how bitterness can bring two or three or more together against the one that they are bitter over. So now, let's go to Hebrews 12. I think some of the worst Bible studies that we ever listen to are just the ones that point out the problem. when I was being separated by the Word of God and then being trained by the Word of God, it was the Word of God that I took into my work in the world. And I started to apply Matthew 18 in the workplace without saying it was Matthew 18 and without using any Bible verses. But I took the living and powerful Word of God, and I would use that when someone would come to me. I would say, well, what's the solution? And thus making the person, if they're going to come and ask me a question, so you can't come to me empty-headed. And likewise, you have the Word of God. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So what if my pastor fails and kills the man who harmed his daughter and family? Is he pursuing peace? Does he have a transformed life? No, then I would be the one talking about the tragedy of these four men that I knew. Instead, he's the one talking about the tragedy of the three men that he knew. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now, we have no record with Absalom and Ahithophel that David did anything to try to mend the relationships. Obviously, God forgave David, I'll offer this up. He whom God forgives, this new life in Christ, he whom God forgives, I forgive. Or I can take the living and powerful sharp Word of God where I'm praying, you know, for forgiveness and to forgive those that have sinned against me. And if I won't forgive, what's the Bible say? What's Jesus teach? Then my sins will not be forgiven. Then you get the parable of the one who owed $50,000 and his master forgave him freely, and then he goes out and finds his coworker who owes him $5. Now, bitterness. Looking carefully, lest any root of bitterness. Absalom. Ahithophel. Bitterness and revenge. How do I know this? Well, when Ahithophel gives his advice, he says, give me 12,000 men. I want to go kill David myself. And when that advice wasn't followed, what did Ahithophel do? He went home, set his house in order, committed suicide because he couldn't go kill David, the man who wrecked his life. Listen, very important at this point. Has the Word of God transformed your life? I've never heard my pastor ever utter those words. I don't even mention the man who wrecked my life because he doesn't have a man who wrecked his life. I've never heard his daughter utter those words. The man who wrecked my life. Now, has the truth transformed your life? So, back in 2 Samuel 15, a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. Now let's look for the transformation in David. So David said to all of his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. Then the king went out with all his household after him. The king left 10 women concubines to keep the house, and the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites, all the Pelethites, all the Gittites. So those are his foreign hired personal, again, security guard. It's the secret service, if you will. 600 men who followed him from Gath passed before the king, so they have a certain loyalty to him personally. The king said to Ittai the Gittite, why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king. For you are a foreigner, also exiled from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today, since I know not where? Return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you. But Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. Has the truth transformed your life? Here you have a foreigner, like Ruth, a foreigner. You remember Ruth's great statement of commitment to Naomi? Where you go, I go. Your God, my God. Gittai is saying the same thing. Or Ittai from Gath, he's saying the same thing. Now, has the truth transformed your life? Jesus, wherever you go, I go. You saved my life from sin. I serve you. Okay? Whatever pleases you, Lord Jesus, that's what I do. Whether in death, whether I live, or whether I die, my life is not my own. Whether I live or whether I die, I have one goal, to please you, okay, that you might be glorified. Commitment. Now, David said to Ittai, go and cross over. Ittai the Gittite and all his men, all the little ones who were with him, crossed over. I love that. Transformed life. Okay. How? Well, Ittai's transformation comes by his love for the Lord, his Lord and his King. Find your way to 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you don't have this one either by memory or by address, it's easier for me to remember 1 Peter 3:15. I can always look it up. But maybe it's easier for you to remember the words. Has this verse transformed your life? This is Ittai. This is what transformed his life. Now, context, verse 13, 1 Peter 3:13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? What's Ittai doing? I'm with David. Even if his son has all of Israel and they're going to come and kill us, I would rather die with David than serve a traitor, even if he is related. Now, I don't know what it is that works for you between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is the type of commitment decision. Who is he will harm you if you become followers of what is good? 1 Peter 3:13. Has the truth transformed your life? Now, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Now, seemingly we would be able to mask, minimize those words in italics in chapter verse 14, quoting Isaiah. We wouldn't think of fear or troubled as a sin. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of the threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. So here you have all of David's servants. You have Ittai saying, my life is set apart in service for the king. There, even there, also your servant will be. I love this reference where Jesus declares it. He says, where I am, there my servant will be also. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense To everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you in meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For me personally, that was December 2016. Some of you were there, saw the whole thing. Okay. Defaming you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, I believe with all my heart that the Lord is calling us as a church, genuine church and abundant church, and I've been introducing this. And He has called us, and He wants us to be set apart. Set apart from this world, set apart to Him. Now, some versions in 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. Has the truth transformed your life? Well, I admire Ittai's commitment. But I'm also going to admire David's commitment. Do you see what he's doing? He's not going to fight for the throne. He's going to completely trust God. Whatever he wants to do good, he wants to do to me is good with me. Now, how can you stop a church that has that mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's the heart of John 17? Sanctify us by your truth, that they may be one as we are one. How can you stop? How can Satan stop a church like that? David said to Ittai, this is 2 Samuel 15:22. Go cross over. Verse 23, all the country wept with a loud voice. All the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the wilderness. There was Zadok also, and Zadok and the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. They sat down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show it me both it and the dwelling place. So I had one charge at that meeting in December of 2016. You're saying, what meeting? Well, it was a meeting to determine, and again, had people set up to hear the matter out, but it quickly turned into three men gathering together to say what was wrong with me, right? And I have no problem with that because I knew it wasn't what was wrong with me. But I was determined to go into that, and the Holy Spirit would not let me defend one thing if any accusation was brought to me, whether it be true or not. I was secretly praying that everything I had ever done for those three men, unto those three men, that absolutely every detail would be told. Because I knew everything. Now, if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and the dwelling place. But if he says, thus I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do to me as seems good to him. The king also said to Zadok the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. Then Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. Now what's the risk all these are taking? They're standing with the king, and if Absalom comes in and finds out all those who defected to David, what would happen to them? Okay? When you stand with Jesus, now back to John 17. What's the calling? The calling is to sanctify our lives by the truth and sanctify Christ in our hearts as Lord and bear his life before the world. John 17:15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. This is verse 14. Because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. What's this truth? The truth is, we've been called to be sanctified, set apart. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. Verse 30, so David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. You see the type of Christ in here? David went up by the ascent of Mount of Olives, wept as he went up. He had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and wept, went up weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, find Psalm 55. Again, I ask you, has the truth transformed your life? What am I offering up to you about my pastor? I'm presenting that he is a man who, when pressed by the devil, seeking to destroy his life, that when the test came, he revealed he had a transformed life. I'm offering to us, David has a transformed life. Ahithophel never forgave David. David writes about this in Psalm 55. I'll pick it up in 9, 55:9. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not part from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell for their wickedness and their dwellings and among them. Much to learn in this has the truth transformed your life? Okay. Unrepented sin will destroy you every time. Even if you walk as a believer for 20 years, 30 years. Why is the cover-up so bad? Because the cover-up ensures that you're going to keep it. Now, all three of those tragedies that my pastor brought to the men's conference, all of them were unrepented sin of things that they had done previously. Now, sometimes the unrepented sin is the sin of unrepentance. Sin of unforgiveness. See, and this is the part, what's Ahithophel's sin? Unforgiveness. Now, he also left, if you'll notice it, where did Absalom find him? Back in his hometown. He left the ministry, if you will. This happens. Someone told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Who is wise and understanding among you? James 3:13. Let a man show by his conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Let a man show that his life has been transformed by the truth. Let a woman show that her life has been transformed by the truth. Show it in your homes. Show it in your work. Are you the best worker where you work because you do all your work as unto the Lord? Yeah. Now, it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God. Has the truth of God transformed your life? Well, when everything's going wrong in your life and everything's falling apart and everybody hates you and they're telling you it's your fault and you're the one that's all wrong, where do you go? Well, I would be right in that chair on Sunday morning worshiping God. Or for some reason I couldn't be in that chair, I would be in the hospital bed on Sunday morning, worshiping God. Now, 1 Peter 3:15, set apart, sanctify in your hearts the Lord God. One thing, He is Lord. He is God. You just, I'm His. He worshiped. David worships. There was Hushai the Archite. Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. Hushai's already given himself away. He heard the news of Absalom coming to be king. He's mourning that. He's already identified himself. I'm with David. This whole way he's walking, there's not a person who hasn't seen him that knows what about him. I'm with David. David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I'll be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will also be your servant. What, David? Well, hear what his angle is. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. He's his double agent, as it were. And you have Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, with you there. Therefore, it'll be whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar. Indeed, they have with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, summer fruit, 100 summer fruits, skin of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what do you mean to do with these? Okay, so Ziba's measuring this out. Who does he think is going to win? He decides to stay with David. Ziba said, donkeys are for the king's house to ride on. The bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink. Then the king said, and where's your master's son? Okay. Now this is where you get Ziba's angle. And Ziba said to the king, indeed he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, today the house of Israel restore the kingdom of my father to me. So the king said to Ziba, here all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. And Ziba said, I humbly bow before you that I may find favor in your sight, O Lord my king. Do you find yourself in the Bible? Ziba, when somebody else is in trouble, what does he do? Goes to gain for himself. King David came to Bahurim, and there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came. Now, unlike me, speaking like a drunken sailor, and those were cuss words, these aren't cuss words. He's pronouncing a curse contrary to the law because they were commanded not to put a curse upon the king. He's cursing the king. He threw stones at David and all the servants of King David. Now for us, we just say like stones to hurt somebody, but this is what you would throw stones at a pack of dogs. This is him calling King David a dog and all of his men with him, the mighty men calling them dogs. Oh yeah, by the way, he's on one side of the Kidron and they're on the other. So he's not following close by them. He's talking from a distance. Shimei said thus as he cursed come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man. Now, I brought it up tonight. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Here is this man from the house of Saul who has been waiting for vengeance and now takes the opportunity with his words to pronounce all this curse upon David. You're an evil man. You're a bloodthirsty man. Why does the Bible say we shouldn't take vengeance? Well, which one of you would mete out the proper amount? How would you know? From God's perspective, he's forgiven David and he'll take care of David. But if Ahithophel, Absalom, or, and here's another name not to name your kids, Shimei. If he could take vengeance, maybe our revenge would be 2 times, 5 times, 10 times more. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head." Has the truth of God transformed his life? Okay. But the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and all his servants, "See how my son came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more may this Benjamite? Let him alone. Let him curse, for so as the Lord has ordered him, it may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." Remember 1 Peter 3? Who is he who will harm you if you become a follower of what is good? What can the words of this man do to me? He says, my real trouble is my son. Right? He said, my son who came from my own body seeks my life. Let this Benjamite alone. Let him curse. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him, cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and kicked up dust. Now the king and all the people with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. Now, we'll pick up in verse 15 next week. But before I cut you loose, find your way to Colossians 3. I love the changes that Jesus brings into my life right away. I love the quick changes. I love how the Word of God comes in. You can teach this. You can do a great parenting section out of here if you want to. Has the truth of God changed your life over how to work correction that brings repentance, that produces reconciliation and restoring, and you teach your children how to be restored in fellowship with you and with one another and with God. It's missing in Absalom. You can teach the importance of reconciliation. You can teach the importance of forgiveness. But none of those men that we're studying tonight were born from above. But we are. Colossians 3:12. Well, it's 3:5. Let's get the old part, since I brought up my old part tonight. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." Okay? Has the Word of God transformed your life? "Put to death the members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Has the truth of God transformed your life? Do not lie to one another. Okay. See who I can pick out who's lying in the room. We all lie at some point. This is why the Word of God has to be so transforming. Did I look at you tonight? Yes, I looked at all of you tonight. Okay? Has your life been transformed? If you say, I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to speak the truth in love from now on. Okay? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, as renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. I love that verse. Put on the new man. Who doesn't cuss when he drops an expensive table? Right? That actually caused me all kinds of trouble, that I would actually, it was after about 3 or 4 years that I would actually say that. But then I learned, when I'm thinking it, I don't even like to think it. Because what happens if I think it? It's in my heart. It'll come out one day. Has the truth transformed my life? Do not lie to one another. Right? Put on the new man. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, what do you hear there? Here's what I hear. My vessel, okay, is to be sanctified by the truth. Elect, God, holy, beloved. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another in this body of believers that we're a part of, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Now, one of those three men who, again, working with him and the Holy Spirit and just meeting with him, and he's taken, took a left turn, and the Holy Spirit said what the sin was, and when I confronted him, he says, this is a sin of unforgiveness. You haven't forgiven your dad. And so you're going to obey your dad rather than count his actions wrong and forgive him. Interesting snare. So I offer this up. There will always be a circumstance. There will always be a temptation. There will always be a test. There will always be a bump in the road that spills that hot cup of coffee that you were just going to drink, and the lid came off and spilled all over you and burns you. And it's not the bump in the road. It's not the coffee, right? If you think about this whole thing, it's that it's us, right? It's what we do. If you're bitter with any of your parents as believers, it doesn't even matter what they have done. You must forgive them. Who here on earth has parents who didn't sin? There's not a one of us who has parents who didn't sin. So you can't even say, well, at least my parents, like, and then as you're trying to parent, you know, and do the things that please to God, and then you're like, well, what are you going to tell your kids? I mean, you better tell them the truth about sin. You better teach them the truth about forgiveness. My kids say, well, Dad, who spanks you when you get out of line? I say, well, Jesus, and let me tell you, it's far worse than you know. But will you please forgive me for? Now, when I offer that up, I mean that. So, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, what if my pastor didn't forgive the man who did all those things? Do you suppose he would be able to minister the truth and love of God today, even if he still had his job, if you want to call it that. What am I offering to us? This is the time for us to be transformed by his truth. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. David's at peace when he is being chased out of his home. And he's at peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, that sin can come up to get you too. No longer thankful for all the things that God has done and given you. And that sin of not being thankful can come to destroy you. And then ultimately, I could have just done the whole Bible study on Colossians 3:16 tonight, and I actually did. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Is it possible to have a transformed life by the truth of God's word? And I offer up to you, not only is it possible, right? This is exactly what God wants to be doing, working in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Does it come up to you that you must forgive? Does it come up to you? Vengeance belongs to God. You can't get somebody back. Does it come up to you for the good that you ought to be doing? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, what's the word of Christ that we start with? Love one another as he has loved us. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So between you and the Lord, do you want a transformed life? It's the word of God. If you can operate your conduct apart from the word of God, that's wisdom from below. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Why do we need the word of God? That's from above. In every circumstance, situation, the word of God, the word of Christ is to be right there. Do you need a pen to take this down? There you go. Lord, we're asking and praying tonight that your word would dwell in us richly and transform our lives. We're grateful for the change you've brought. But Lord, now the hour has come where you should be glorified in your church, that we would rather suffer and die than live lives separate from your word. We're asking to have transformed marriages, transformed parenting, transformed work, transformed relationships. I pray for the forgiveness and the reconciliation that is to happen between husbands and wives, between fathers and their sons, between mothers and their daughters, between mothers and their sons. And we ask, Lord, that you would transform us, that we could no longer live according to how we want to live, but we would deny ourselves. And we ask for the word of Christ to dwell in us richly in all wisdom, in the way that we forgive and reconcile and restore, in the way that we are one. So Lord, we've determined tonight to have salt in ourselves and be at peace with one another. Lord, there's not another Christian, there's not another soul alive that I want to take vengeance on. There's not a soul alive, there's not a person alive that I haven't forgiven. Lord, I need your forgiveness. Lord, I don't know what's going on in everyone's heart, but I ask that you would do good to those, Lord, that call upon your name, that you would love your people and you would transform our lives. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.